Please now stand for the reading of the sermon text. I will be reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. This is the well-known parable of the sower. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it, and some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold." And he said these things. He called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the paths are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not bear and mature. As for those that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. Amen. Please be seated.
Let's pray. Gracious Father in heaven, we ask that you will indeed sovereignly, supernaturally work in each of our minds, in our hearts, to enable us to hear and to understand. We ask you to bless the proclamation of your word, because you are a God who is pleased to reveal yourself through that instrumentality of the preaching of the word. And we ask this in Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. This morning, beloved, you may have by this time come to the realization that in this little brief series of 3 weeks with you, it has been my purpose to expose you to some very familiar texts from Luke by way of encouraging your sanctification. Matthew and Luke in particular deal with many aspects of the kingdom of God. And we have another opportunity this morning to think about it, particularly with respect to gospel application. There's more to the gospel than just the narrow issue of Jesus Christ dying on the cross and suffering in order to redeem us from our sins. as was well pointed out this morning already, he died on the cross and suffered for us and rose from the dead for our sanctification as well as our salvation. And so this morning, our text comes from verse 18. Therefore, take care, or sometimes translated, take heed how you listen. Take heed how you hear. This is a great and solemn commandment. It's a commandment that seems so simple and ordinary, it's easy to overlook in its profound significance. For if you will look carefully at the remainder of the verse, there's what at first may seem like a remarkable consequence. For whoever has, to him shall more be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. Christ is saying that it is possible to think oneself well possessed of truth and be self-deceived. And the distinguishing factor between those who have and become the objects of yet greater abundance and those who think they have but lose that and everything else, the pivotal factor is how they listen. Listening is a big issue. And in the United States today, I believe we are well challenged, and in many ways challenged with great evil, to think poorly, to think carelessly, and to think unbiblically. The subject of careful listening is not a new subject. Long before Jesus Christ's public ministry, listening was a concern that God had for his people. If you care to turn to Ezekiel 3, there's an interesting exhortation from the book of that prophet, in Ezekiel 3, beginning with verse 10. Ezekiel 3:10. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, take into your heart all my words, which I shall speak to you, and listen closely. And then comes the hard part. And go to the exiles, to the sons of your people, and speak to them, and tell them whether they listen or not. Thus says the Lord God. Matthew. Chapter 7, we have the record of Christ's first public sermon. And here his emphasis on the issue of hearing. Chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Verse 26. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And of course, the great was the fall of that house when the storms came. Verse 28, the result was that when Jesus had finished these words, the multitudes were amazed at his teaching. Now, the other night we considered prayer that is without articulated speech, the groanings of a heart that is filled with anguish or concern or attention on something that's inexpressible. But for the most part, what we communicate is communicated in words. Now, we supplement words with body language, and that can be powerful. But for the most part, the communication of information, be it trivial or profound, is by words. We are verbal creatures made in the image of God. God is a God of speech. Jesus Christ is the Word incarnate. We don't have an accident here. This is a profound cluster of connections that reflect, for good or for ill, our appreciation of it in the way we speak, and especially in the way we listen. Matthew 11, verse 15. Beginning with verse 14. Excuse me, I was in Luke and thought I was in Matthew. Bear with me a moment. For those of you with senior moments, you can understand. Bifocals. You can think you're in one book and be in another. Matthew 11 and verse 15. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is not in the context of a parable. Chapter 13, verse 9. He who has ears, let him hear. Verse 19. When someone or anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. Parallel passage. Verse 43. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Chapter 17, verse 5. While he was still speaking, this is in the Mount of Transfiguration, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And now comes the application from God the Father. Listen to him. Listen to my beloved Son. Christ himself said that. We've already read it. And then in Revelation, again and again, in those first chapters, chapter 2 and 3, Christ says that at the end of each letter to the various churches of Asia Minor, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hearing well is a big issue, and it's one in which we're faced with many distractions. It used to be, a century ago, that a college professor never questioned that a room full of students could listen attentively to a lecture for an hour to 2 hours. In recent years, the attention deficit of students has gotten worse and worse. We're conditioned by television to interrupt our thoughts just as it gets started, interrupt again, commercials do it, and I could pick many other ways. But the bottom line is it's easy to be seduced into distracted thinking. And I would offer you, by way of a note of application, which I'll try to pick up again before we end, that one of the evidences of it is how hard it is for us to listen without interrupting to somebody else's conversation. We have a hard time doing that. And I was thinking this morning, I've been thinking all week about this, to, by God's grace, convey to this beloved congregation the importance of taking care how we listen. And at breakfast, I found myself interrupting both Julie and Barbara as they were talking. Smitten with the realization, even though I've tried for years to guard that tendency, I still find it's there to interrupt without letting a person finish what they're saying. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So the question becomes, if this text is meaningful, take care how we listen. The words of Christ to us, take care how you listen. There are three distinct aspects to effective listening, to careful listening. How we are to listen, to what we are to listen, and to how we respond or act upon what we have heard. How we listen, to what we listen, and then how do we apply it. In verse 18, the text is succinct. Take care how you listen. Notice that it's preceded with a therefore. Therefore, take care how you listen. And in verses 16 and 17, as well as in the previous portion that was read concerning the first parable Christ told, a kingdom parable concerning who was redeemed and who was not, it's a parable that has to do with listening to the word of God. And in verses 16 and 17, Christ was laying the groundwork for the full unveiling and unfolding of the gospel of grace, which took place at Pentecost and ever since. Now, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand in order that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light. Now, I believe it's easy with that text to think of, oh my, this means all the secrets of our life, the ones we dread having exposed to public view, will be seen, and that certainly is probably included. But the first emphasis is the unfolding of the mystery of the kingdom. Verse 10, he said to them, when the disciples asked for the explanation of the parable of the sower, to you it has been given or granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And the great mystery of the kingdom of God, beloved, is the mystery of Jesus Christ coming in the flesh to redeem us and to sanctify us as gathered in subjects of an eternal kingdom, not a secular and fleshly kingdom of Israel. And so the context could be read this way: take heed of our commandment, therefore take heed how you listen, especially and particularly to the gospel. Now that would apply, of course, and include many other things. But there are several aspects to taking heed to listening well. How do we listen? And the first I would point out is well expressed in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, which is a chapter with a lot of practical application. Verses 19 through 21, do not quench the Spirit. And of course, one of the ways that we can do that is by disregarding what we have heard through the work of the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. There's a call here to concentrate particularly upon the proclamation of the word. Particularly. But as well, we're to listen to other things. We'll address that in a brief moment. We're to listen humbly. Luke chapter 16. Luke 16, verse 14. Now the Pharisees were lovers of money and were listening to all these things, and they were scoffing at him. Now ponder that for a minute. Here's the greatest teacher who ever lived, who never said a single sinful statement in his life. They're listening to Christ speak and they're scoffing. The sin of cosmic pride. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God. The purpose of preaching is first of all to enable us to come to a true understanding of our own condition and needy estate. And having seen that, to see God's solution in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And once that has been embraced sovereignly by the work of the Spirit in the heart of a hearer, then the agenda opens up to the grand vista of sanctification for the rest of our life. This is all kingdom gospel issue to the heart of it. And Christ is saying, if you don't listen humbly, you'll end up justifying yourself like the Pharisees. They were listeners, but deluded. We're to listen in faith. Look again at our text, if you will. Verse 12. And those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Now, it's expressed negatively, but it's powerfully. Verse 13. And those on the rocky soil are those who hear, receiving the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believed for a while, and then the belief evaporated. So if we're going to listen carefully, we're going to listen redemptively, we're going to listen in a way that becomes an instrumentality in the hands of God for our blessing and His glory, we have to listen with faith. We also need to listen with discrimination. Mark chapter 8. Mark 8, verse 15. Beginning with verse 14. And they had forgotten to take bread and did not have more than one loaf in the boat with them. And he was giving orders to them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And then it goes on to point out, of course, that they thought he was talking about bread instead of the teaching of the Pharisees. But he was saying, be on the alert. Be careful what you listen to. Verse 21 of Luke chapter, verse 8 of Luke 21. Get that right yet. And he said to them, "See to it that you do not be misled. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time is his hand. Do not go after them." See to it that you are not misled. Be careful what you listen to. And then, of course, that lovely passage concerning Jesus, the Good Shepherd. John 10, verse 3 and following. To him, the Good Shepherd, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And when a stranger, they will simply not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. We need to listen desiringly, lovingly. We need to listen with a longing, the way Mary sat at the feet of Jesus when her sister Martha was fussing at her for not helping set up for dinner. Would you turn to Mark chapter 12, please? Mark 12, verse 30. Well, I'll include verse 29. Jesus answered, "The foremost is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.'" The faculty of hearing and processing what we hear with our mind is one of the premier ways to tangibly, meaningfully, really express genuine love to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us in Colossians 3 to give thanks in everything. That should be included in our hearing. And then finally, we must listen actively. If you remember at the end of Matthew 7, those who heard and act upon it are like the man who builds his house on the rock. Those who hear my words, do not act upon them, are like the man who built his house upon the sand. So to what are we to listen? To what are we to hear? To give our attention? Well, we must first turn away from anything that is contrary to the Word of God. That should be a non-negotiable. And I believe we have many areas in which we are offered the opportunity to be tempted to listen to what's ungodly. And I think there's none of us that haven't been in a movie that has had ungodly speech. And whether from Scots or Dutch genes of frugality or some other reason, have regretted later that we didn't leave as a mark of displeasure with the use of the name of the Lord in vain. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 3. Do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom. There's that remarkable word again. Has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. If you think you can listen to evil speech, unbiblical speech, ungodly talk, and not be affected, you are deceived. We're weak creatures, we're sheep. And we have a duty, as John Bunyan put it, to shut the ear gate when we're exposed to that which is verbally wrong, evil talk. Well, not only must we then reject what's evil, but we should regularly listen to the proclamation of God's word. There's the positive side of it. And this morning, I couldn't help smiling at the providence of God that in the Sunday school class, we were discussing elements of worship service, and the issue of preaching came up. Is preaching a proper element of right worship? And here are the words of Paul under the inspiration of the Spirit, beginning with verse 8 of Romans 10. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. And now he comes to an application, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. That's beautiful. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Now that's a glorious comfort, isn't it? What a great truth. You could chisel on the cornerstone of a building. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And presumably, of course, calling upon the name of the Lord biblically. But then look at verse 14. How shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? And so on. And so then verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Jesus Christ himself, ordained as the centerpiece of that body of information that we take on board, the centerpiece of what glorifies him is the proclamation of the word of God. Now, we should also be willing to listen to other things besides the gospel and its kingdom sense, but other things that are righteous and of good report. Notice the words of Paul to the believers in Philippi. Chapter 4, Philippians. Finally, brethren, verse 8, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good reputation or report, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. And I believe one of the best examples of whatever is beautiful and good, of good report and so on, are accounts, biographies, and other ways of communicating the work of missionaries, great pastors, preachers, saints of the past. I believe a person has to have a hard heart indeed to read Fox's Book of Martyrs and not be moved to tears. The men who counted the proclamation of the Word of God more important than their own life and safety. Men who understood the right hearing of the Word. And then, as I've suggested earlier, this is a kingdom issue. And so we should be thinking, when we think about what we listen to, is it a matter that enhances our understanding of and service in the kingdom? Which takes us to the third concern, taking heed about how we act upon what we hear. This is application, application, application. Verse 15 of our text. And the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. These are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart. I would remind you that in 1 Corinthians 13, one of the marks of a loving heart is the mark of endurance. God willing, we're going to consider that this evening. But it is very difficult to consider the issue of persevering without minds and hearts that are conditioned to hear carefully. Because one of the truths that's not a particularly pleasant one is that persecution is guaranteed to the godly. And so the hearing of the word means a willingness to pray for belief in what is said in the word. And then, essentially, it demands, if we take its implications with care, it demands that we apply some analysis to our own thinking and our own behavior. I have a quote that I'd like to read you from John Bunyan about listening to the word, particularly the proclamation of the word. Alas, the place of hearing is the place of sleeping with many a fine professor. And that's not a college professor, but one who professes faith in Christ. That's old English. I have often observed that those who keep shops can briskly attend upon a twopenny customer. But when they themselves come to God's market, They spend their time too much in letting their thoughts wander from God's commandments or in a nasty, drowsy way. The head and also the hearts of most hearers are to the word as the sieve is to water. They can hold no sermons, remember no texts, bring home no proofs, produce none of the sermon to the edification and profit of others who did not hear it. Let me ask you a question of application, beloved. What do you talk about Sunday after morning worship? What do you talk about? What do you discuss? Do you review the text? Do you ask one another what you heard? When you leave the church Sunday morning, and if you attend evening worship and consider that of a high priority, you leave. Do you remember a text? Do you remember at least one truth that you don't want to let go of for the rest of your life? Now, it's been pointed out that we do not remember the vast body of what we've heard in sermons. And we'd have to have the mind of a brilliant photographic memory genius to do that. And I think the best analogy I ever came across was when a man critically attacking the fact that it's difficult to remember what's said in sermon after sermon, it was pointed out to him that his wife is a good cook, and for 30 years she fed him well, and he couldn't remember the menu of almost all the meals. But the fact is that the cumulative effect of her care and her cooking was good bodily health and sustenance. And the same thing is true with the Word of God, that listening carefully, we absorb certain principles over time. It's as much caught as taught in many instances. But there should be, as we are maturing in the faith, more and more principles that we can consciously identify, that we can spot and see an application and hold to them. And that's something that should be a growth goal for each of us if we indeed want to be careful listeners. Heedful listening can be learned. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, I believe is one of the most comforting texts for application that God has ever given us. I'm going to ask you to turn there and not just quote it. Luke 16, verse 10. In the context of the most difficult parable in all of the parables of Christ to interpret, it's often called the parable of the unfaithful steward, there is implanted in that parable, in its explanation, this text, verse 10. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. I believe one of the most neglected areas for personal spiritual growth in enhancing the grace of careful listening is practicing listening to one another without interrupting. I believe it. And responding thoughtfully. That's hard to do. I've said it before from this pulpit, I'll say it again, that when you talk with many folks, the most common subject of their attention and fascination is themselves. But if you can make a point of asking others about themselves, you have a probable success moment at hand, because most people will gladly tell you something about themselves. But then when they do, now comes the test. What do you do with that? Do you ask further questions that are penetrating, thoughtful, and supportive, and careful? So learning to listen with care is an achievable grace. It's an issue of sanctification that can be one of personal growth in grace. And I believe that if we pray for an attitude of considering the Word of God as a treasure, that we would want to go and hear more carefully than any lecture on the secrets of successful stock market killing, we will be blessed if we treasure the Word in its hearing. I think it's interesting that though Christ speaks in the parable of seeing they will not see, his primary emphasis is upon hearing either well or poorly. Because the eye gate is a gate in which we take on board much. We have many temptations that can come through the eye gate, especially temptations for coveting and so on. But it's interesting that in the providence of God, he has ordained as the primary means of our growth in grace, careful hearing of his holy word. What a joy that should be, that we have an access to it. Recently, I read an account of a missionary years ago who went to one of the Balkan countries during the time of the communist takeover after World War II. And he was given the opportunity to preach the gospel in one of the Soviet satellite countries. And he did, with as many people as could crowd into the building in which he was permitted to preach, several thousand people outside as well as inside. And then they would depart and another group come, and they would depart and another group came. And he did it until after midnight when his voice gave out. And he had the end, as yet another group had gathered after midnight to hear him explain the gospel. And as he was going out, an old, very obviously aged, wrinkled, feeble old man grabbed his sleeve and tugged on it and held on so firmly that the exhausted missionary said, "What is it, sir?" through his interpreter. And the man spoke Russian, and he said, "Will you please tell me if this is from the Bible?" And he took out of his pocket a little packet that was carefully tied. He untied it with shaking fingers, opened it up, and it was a page that was so worn that the writing was very discernible. And he said, tell me, is this from the Bible? It was a page from Exodus. He'd never, ever seen a Bible his entire life. Had been given that page as a young man. Had read it and reread it. And he said to the missionary, "Thank you. Now I know it's not wrong to wish that I knew what comes after this page." The missionary could hardly speak. And it brought home to him the incredible wealth that we have that we take for granted. Many homes have Bibles in abundance. Our home does. I have a shelf with half a dozen Bibles on it. And some homes have more than one Bible that is never even opened. Because we've had such an abundance, we do not understand the privilege millions of people have, do not have, of hearing the Word of God preached and listened to with care. Take heed how you listen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we know that every one of us is guilty of carelessness listening, sometimes heedless listening, sometimes unthankful listening, and sometimes disobedient listening, rebellious listening. And for this we pray for the grace of repentance and a desire to be holy in our listening. Please help us to learn to be active listeners that represent the Spirit of Jesus Christ in that grace often neglected and sometimes not even recognized as a grace. Please, Lord, would you enable us to be careful listeners, the better to glorify you and our kingdom presence and participation and membership. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to enable us to honor the words of our Lord Jesus in this major area of our walk with him, that we will indeed be instruments in your mighty hand for the good of the kingdom and the bringing of much blessing to others. We ask this in the name of him who called us to listen with great care, even the person of Jesus Christ himself, the Word made flesh. Amen.